We like to think of the Jefferson Exchange as something of a buffet with lots of different items to choose from, and it turns out thinking of a buffet actually makes us hungry. So we feature a once-a-month food segment called Savor. I understand that may seem a little lightweight at the moment, but we have to eat. Will Smith is our partner. He's a food stylist, which means he's well-versed in making food and its preparation and making it look good on camera. Every month he brings a topic, a recipe, and a guest. Will, welcome.
Hello.
He's on the phone because we're not bringing people into the studio and because of gatherings. Tom Beam is the guest this month. He's a restaurant owner of Sesame and Pie and Vine, and he owns a piece of Falafel Republic as well. Tom Beam, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
And, of course, all restaurants in the region are doing takeout only at the moment to keep people from gathering together. So lots to talk about with Tom and Will. Let's start with Will. Will, start us off. Talk about the stuff that happens every year. Spring. Happy spring, one
well,
and
you
all.
Know, I'm feeling very, very cheated.
You're feeling cheated?
Yeah, because we look so forward to this time of year, and now we have this other issue brewing. But the important thing is to cook something. Get together with your family, stay home, make a sauce, make some pickles. It's about probably the greatest thing you could do with people that you care about.
Make a sauce. What would be the top of your list then?
You know, that's sort of an old saying that I've always said to my friends when people are stressed. Uh-huh. You know, there's something very therapeutic about, you know, getting your ingredients, doing really good prep, and then making a slow simmer sauce of some kind. I feel it is one of the greatest activities for an afternoon, and now some of us are staying home more, so I urge people to get into their kitchens a bit.
I like that. You get a chance to focus on something outside your head.
Yes, without distraction. Mm-hmm. It's great. So
right.
there's always that silver lining. But, you know, the beauty about this, the end of March and beginning of April, is not only outside but in the markets, everything's turning green. So all the great greens are coming in, broccoli's coming in, you're getting garlic scapes and ramps, and of course, beautiful asparagus really comes into market in April, and it's a delicious time of year.
I noticed asparagus the other day in the store, really cheap, even the organic stuff.
It's beautiful right now, mm-hmm. and it will continue to be so through May and the start of June.
So where does asparagus come from? And, I mean, where is it grown? When is it grown, Will?
So right now, China's the biggest producer, but naturally, it was always sort of that sort of Western, cooler part of Europe. In America, it's mostly cultivated in Michigan, Washington. There's a fair bit in California and Oregon as well.
And
Cold Bean Valley.
Uh-huh. So when did it go into the ground to be able to come out around this time of year?
You know, the turnaround is about two months, and you know it's interesting. It's a fast growing veg, and you know, again, one of those things that's, you know, it's pretty common now. But I remember when I moved to New York in 89, asparagus was still sort of in the 80s was sort of exotic.
Uh-huh.
On the East Coast, but now I think it's pretty much. Everybody's pretty familiar with it.
Well, yeah, but it's got a long history, as you showed me in the briefing notes, there's a long, long time that people have been eating asparagus.
Yeah, since Egyptian times, Greeks and the Romans ate it. It was also considered an aphrodisiac, people, and it is one of my favorite things. Mixed excellent soups. You can throw it on the grill with a little vinaigrette. It's excellent. The recipe that we're featuring is just a simple broiled or roasted in the oven with a little parm, a little lemon zest, a little salt and pepper. That's about as simple as you can get. And then, you know, it's a great addition for eggs. It's a delicious vegetable.
It's good stuff. I'll get into the recipe in detail in just a minute. I want to turn to Tom
sure.
Beam now. And Tom, you're from New York City originally, is that right?
Correct, yes.
Which part of the city?
Queens.
Okay, yeah, I'm from a few miles east of you in Levittown myself.
Oh, sweet. My parents live in Baldwin now.
Oh, okay, sure, yeah. It was one of the train stops on the way out to Wanto where I got off. So how did you get into the food business?
I started in a Korean deli in Queens when I was about 13 years old. My father was a Pepsi truck driver, and we were delivering soda and wound up working there all through high school and having this wonderful relationship and this interesting multi-ethnic experience, Korean family doing Jewish deli, which was, you know.
That's very New York, isn't it?
It's very New York, yes.
And see, you got trained too, though. You went to the Culinary Institute of America, is that right?
Yes. I left high school at 17 and went off to CIA that same month in June and started my career. I was one of those few people blessed to always know what I was going to go do from an early age. So it's been a long, long run.
We talk a lot about food in sync with seasons. It sounds like you worked some seasonal food businesses early in your career.
Absolutely.
Tell us about those.
Well, seafood on the East Coast is a seasonal thing, and you know, lobster season hits, and those are some of my finest food memories. You know, fresh lobster on the beach, some of the seasonal fishing things that happen here in Oregon. Razor clams are a very seasonal item. Hard to get and just from a commercial season now, but an unbelievable experience. Pair really well with the asparagus recipe Will has up. I've just a life full of wonder and food. I can think of, you know, apples in New York and grapes. You know, New York's one of the largest, I think still is one of the largest grape producing regions in the world. Not wine grapes per se, but grapes. Table grapes. And so, you know, a fresh wild sea bass and some roasted grapes is some simple combinations of things I love. And, you know, moving to the West Coast, those flavors change, but are, you know, similar. We, you know, we have pears here and again, wine grapes. My wife and I have a small vineyard that we produce some wines out of. So seasonally, those are some flavors that we've just, you know, more recently grown to love.
Tom Beam, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a restaurant owner, a Sesame and Pie and Vine, and a piece of Falafel Republic. And you can hear he's got a winery, too. He and wife, Lisa. He's our guest on this month's edition of Savor with our regular partner, Will Smith, the food stylist. We're all on the phone this week because we're trying to stay out of the studio together, obviously. Questions, comments from you about what we're talking about with food here on the Exchange, you're welcome to join in at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. You were just talking about moving to the West Coast. Now, you married into a restaurant family with deep ties in Medford, is that right?
I did, yes. Our family goes deep in the restaurant business here on the West Coast. My wife's grandparents started a restaurant in Eugene, which then quickly moved to Medford, North's Chuck Wagon Buffet. That was, I think, in the 50s or 60s. My dates could be wrong there. Mm-hmm. And that... went with a multi-state operation for a long, long time. And then from that relationship, Lisa's sister, Jamie, opened a Muse restaurant 20 years ago. I think it's 20-year anniversary now, or close. And that's still in operation in Ashland on First Street. And Chef Eric Brown's still there. Fantastic seasonal guy. His menus are always inspiring to me seasonally. And then Jamie split off to do a mix, remix, and then most recently Flip, which is now owned by her chef there, which I think is also a wonderful story, which is kind of what happened with Falafel too.
Right. Yeah, we did have the chef from Muse here last month for Savor. But you know, here's where we get to the crux of the issue with restaurants at the moment is that you can't do much other than do the takeout service. So I mean, of your restaurants, Sesame Pie and Vine and Falafel Republic, are they all still doing something?
Yeah, we're all doing takeout and delivery. We are trying to decide. Seasonally, you know, obviously produce is much tougher with a slower market. We want to make sure everything's fresh and safe. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at things like, we'll use collard greens as an example. Olive oil poached collard greens. Mm-hmm. So whereas asparagus might be harder to preserve and sell. Something like collard greens that can be stabilized and held for, say, for a longer period of time. So we're just adjusting our recipes to what's in season and what we can do well with, and what our customers really want to eat. That's another big question. We can get wild, but that doesn't mean it's going
to
sell.
Right, but that's interesting. You have to think almost like food producers, as in growers, in figuring out what will travel well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Will, and, I hear some grunts of recognition here from you.
I would like to remind everybody that this situation is particularly hard for restaurants and bar businesses, and if you have a chance to get some takeout over the next few weeks before maybe taken away, I urge everybody to do it because they need our help.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk, Will, about how you came to know Tom and Lisa Beam.
So great. So I do some work with Weisinger Winery, and I actually met Tom on a very, very bad day because a neighbor of his had gone a little crazy with some Roundup, and Tom was upset that day. But I have not met a more passionate person, I think, in town that cares so much about food and also cares so much about the community.
It sounds like the sensibility of the restaurants is pretty close to yours about trying to stay in rhythm with the seasons.
Yeah, totally. And Tom does excellent, I think, job at Pine Vine, and most beautiful, super creative in season pizzas and pastas and stuff. One of my favorite spots.
So, Tom, is it Pie and Vine or Pie Plus Vine? Because it's written with the plus mark, and every time I go past it, it's like, wait, is it Pie and Vine or Pie Plus Vine?
Either way, we're not even sure.
Okay.
my email is still pastapiotti@gmail.com, and you can call it that, too. We don't need to put a name on it. We're so blessed to be doing business in Ashland, in this community, surrounded by what I believe to be the best food supply or the best freshest food in the world here in Southern Oregon. I've been blessed to do a little bit of traveling, and I always come home hungry. We talked about asparagus early in the show. If people are out this week, maybe forage for wild asparagus could be a fun thing to do with your kids. It's out there. It's growing here. Fennel will be popping up through the cracks in the sidewalk. Forage fennel. Take it home, wash it good, do something fun with it. Rhubarb. Rhubarb's another great thing we should be eating right now.
Sure.
It's probably coming up in grandma's garden, not your own. But find some rhubarb, find a recipe, make some rhubarb jam, or make a rhubarb pie with the kids. These are the things that get me excited about spring.
Where can you find wild asparagus?
There are some foraging websites online. We've got morels coming up here in the next 3-4 weeks. That's another thing to forage with the kids. If you want a day trip without a lot of people around, we usually go up to Lake of the Woods. There's lots of, it's a great time to go out and explore food in your own backyard, too. You're going to have dandelion greens coming up here in the next 6 weeks. Try eating some. Wash them. Try eating some. Dandelion greens, delicious, and has been a food staple on the planet for as long as people have been writing recipes.
Right. It's interesting that we always spray them and try to get them out, and all the things that we do to get rid of dandelions because they're weeds, but they're also edible and they look nice too.
One of my favorite things when I was a kid, my father would drive under overpasses in the truck, and people would be out in these large, vast lawn areas, and I'd say, Dad, what are all those people doing out there? And this is in New York City in Queens in 1976. People were foraging for dandelion greens to make dandelion wine.
Huh.
And I didn't even know that was a thing. But so when I think about my food life, this stuff comes back, and it comes back in waves. And that's the passion, I think. I love it. I mean, it's all out there, all around us. We don't have to go buy it all. We can find it.
Tom Beam, one of our guests here on the Jefferson Exchange, our guest on Savor, our food segment. He's the co-owner of Sesame and Pie and Vine and owns a piece of Falafel Republic as well. Will Smith, of course, back in his chair, but on the phone away from the studio for obvious reasons during the COVID-19 outbreak. Let's take a phone call here from Mark in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange and our Savor segment.
Good morning. I used to run a small restaurant in the west end of Hartford, Connecticut. And one of the things that we used to do was to go to a friend of mine and I, who I had a partner who branched off and got a place in Simsbury, Connecticut. And one of the things that we discovered, we were talking about asparagus, was we decided to grow a lot of our own herbs and so on. There was a small little woodsy place in Simsbury, Connecticut. We turned it over and we found asparagus that had been planted who knows when, but probably 20, 30 years ago. Well, that was 20, 30 years. I'm talking about we were doing this in the 80s, so probably back in the 50s was when it was planted. Anyway, we came up with all kinds of wonderful things for asparagus, but I think simple's best. I just like to do a quick saute with garlic and butter, and then I deglaze with a little bit of vermouth. The other thing I was thinking was one of my favorites back there this time of year was fiddleheads, and I don't know if there's anybody out here that does fiddleheads or if they're local or if I can find them. Do either one of your guests know anything about finding fiddleheads here in Southern Oregon?
Are we talking fiddlehead ferns, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're available commercially. I don't think they're available for foraging here, not in Southern Oregon. And the other thing I love about Connecticut, and I worked in Richfield for a while, ramps, wild leeks, another great forage item. And those are available commercially now, too, on the West Coast, but very hard to get. But wild leeks and clams from Connecticut sound really good right now.
Yes, they do. It's funny. My sister lives in Simsbury, too. I'd be curious to know from Mark about where he's finding wild asparagus in Simsbury. I'll have to let her in on the secret if they're still there. So I want to get to the – I kind of went past the recipe in a hurry about asparagus. Let's get this into a little more depth here, Will.
Yeah, and you know, another super fun thing to do, especially when you have a little bit extra time, which we may these couple weeks, is pickled asparagus. Excellent for your Sunday morning Bloody Mary, but also great super snack. It's one of my favorite things. But the recipe this month is just super, super simple. It really is. I love these things where you're really tasting what the main ingredient is. So it's just, you know, you want to try to find, I really like a pencil size.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about size, not the big fat ones though, right?
Yeah. The fat ones are different. They're just going to be coarser, a little bit more to chew, but, you know, you can use a vegetable peeler and peel off the outside and just naturally find where it breaks and break that woody bit off the end. But the pencil size ones are really the really beautiful flavor. And you're just gonna slide them out flat on a cookie sheet or jelly roll pan, do a little grated parm, a little drizzle of olive oil, some salt and pepper, and then I like to put it under the broiler until it just looks crisp and golden brown, and then when it comes out I like to grate a little lemon zest over the top, and it's pretty damn good.
Oh, some chili flake too. You forgot the chili flake.
Yes, I like the chili flake too.
So, how long in the oven?
Oh my God, it's fast. You know, if you have a hot broiler, it's going to be less than 5 minutes.
Oh
minutes.
Wow! Again, okay.
My bone to pick with so many people. It's, you know, cooking is so difficult. It takes so much time. And in actuality, Tom, it really doesn't, right?
Actually, I don't know. Some days it seems challenging, and some days not so much. But I like your recipe, and I honor the quick. Five minutes is plenty. Less is more. Exactly. Resting is better than cooking.
And they're also great. You know, once people get their grills going, they're great on the grill too, and like a little vinaigrette over it. Excellent.
Tom, I imagine most of your wait staff has had to be laid off once you got to the point where there was nobody to wait on, right?
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, are you really just doing it with just like, what, two people in the kitchen or something to handle the takeout orders?
Yeah, it depends on the shift. We're hoping that tonight we'll be able to employ four, a dishwasher and three cooks, and we'll have two drivers out with a third on standby, which is my wife or myself, if I'm not needed in the kitchen, and then we'll have one or two people taking calls. But I want to say thank you to the community already. I see the support. I see the love. We're so blessed to be here in paradise with all of you. So we're all going to make it through this together. I don't know how. I don't know when, but we're going to get through the other side.
Yeah, there will be another side. That's the hard part, is not knowing when it is, though. But it's, you know, this sort of works right up the alley, I would think, if somebody who's worked in a kitchen a lot is like, okay, well, now we got a new challenge we got to deal with.
Yeah, we've done 3 years of smoke. We did 1 year of no tickets. We've done floods. We've done fire. You know, we've done it. We've done this. This one just comes at a very, because of the time that this comes at the end of the winter season for a lot of our restaurants that have been making payroll, keeping people employed, gearing up for the season, getting ready for our guests or the rest, not just our locals, but the rest of our guests to come to town to make this a special place. We're at our weakest point, and then this happened. So it's not like in August we had made sales and have cash. We have nothing, and we're moving into what looks to be about 18 months of very limited sales. So it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be tough. But again, I wouldn't want to do this anywhere else but here with all of you.
In Ashland. Okay. Well, it's interesting. We have an email here from Susan who says, why do Ashland chefs seem to assume everyone wants very spicy food these days? We'll have to let that one kind of hang in the air because we're out of time for this segment. But it's something for Ashland chefs to consider as they continue to do their business as takeout only because of the restrictions on having people in restaurants. So I very much appreciate the look inside what's going on in the restaurant business. Tom Beam is the co-owner of Sesame and Pie and Vine and a part owner of Falafel. And he and Lisa have a vineyard and bunch of other stuff they're always doing. Tom, thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Will, always good to have you as a partner on the Savor of Food segment. Wouldn't want to do it with anybody else, and I appreciate bringing in the topics and the guests and the great asparagus recipe.
Super, and everybody get out there and support your local restaurant.
All right, take care, you guys.